Chapter 35. Blessed are they who yearn for the Spirit. Fortunately, we can establish that great numbers of pupils of the young Gnostic Brotherhood are engaged, under the urge of the call of the Spirit of God, in raising their soul state up to the Father of Lights and in tearing themselves loose from the nature aeons, thus giving their soul faculties a greater radius of action. And this enables them not only to presume the Spirit of God, but also to know Him. However, no matter how important, the knowledge of God must always be only a means and not an end in itself. For what counts is the possession of the spirit soul. The only thing that can make you a true human being, a truly spiritual person, is possessing the spirit soul. Even your renewing soul state can never make you truly happy, for even the renewed soul remains a seeker, a yearner, as long as the spirit does not kindle it. If you seek the soul, and that is what you are doing by virtue of your soul being, you can be truly happy only when you find the spirit, when you receive him and he is revealed in you and by you. Blessed are they who yearn for the spirit. This is how the sublime words of the Sermon on the Mount begin. You know these words and you are linked to them in a very special way. For we can say without any fear of exaggeration that every pupil of a Gnostic spiritual school was a yearner for the Spirit long before he joined the spiritual school. Only he doesn't know it. Most of the pupils presently belonging to the spiritual school are not aware that they are spiritually yearning. They know only that they are seekers, innate seekers. This is why the words of Jesus, "He who seeks finds," appeal more to them. This is something they can understand. They seek in order to find. They are looking for a life which better meets their state of being and can give them satisfaction. The nature of this state of life does not really interest them initially. They are not able to formulate this, because if they had known sooner, they would have found sooner. Being a seeker is really a state of illness, a mental defect comparable to the effects of being homesick. And so all our pupils, with perhaps one or two exceptions, are seekers. Seekers for the lost temple. That is how it begins. And we say to you, in deepest essence, you are seeking the Spirit of God. You are yearning for the Spirit. That is why you have commenced your pilgrimage. Every day for many years, you are being confronted in our school by the call of the Holy Spirit. It is a call which is becoming ever louder in our spiritual school. It is also a call which many people find very disconcerting. They ask themselves, what are we supposed to do about this call? We have hardly begun the path. There are many shadows clouding our view, and we are still very slow on the uptake when it comes to the many perspectives the Gnostic philosophy is opening up for us. How then can we respond to the call from the Most High? Nevertheless, it is a fact that many pupils have been yearning for the Spirit for a long time. The difference between now and previously is that their yearning and the call of the Spirit have come closer to each other. The Spirit wants to have contact with them. Hence, there is no reason for being disconcerted. There is only reason for tremendous gratitude and joy. Surely the manifestation of the Most High in a school like ours can only facilitate the finding, deepen the insight, and accelerate the tempo. In addition, no pupil can or shall be pushed for even one instant, or be overwhelmed by a power to which he or she is unable to respond. To help you see this, we would like to speak to you about the living magnetic body and its formation. A great deal has already been said about this, but in our opinion, there are still many misunderstandings. You know that we speak about a fivefold living body that can be clearly seen in the world of matter. Just as in a physical body, every organ and every member play a role, so also do the five aspects of the living body active here in matter. The youth work and the group of members are the reception centers of the body of the school for all those who are to any degree seekers, and therefore, in essence, yearning for the Spirit. It is completely obvious that in those reception centers, seekers are not burdened by the most serious requirements of the path as immediate necessities, as millstones around their necks. In those centers, there should simply be a dignified reception in which the breath of the Spirit fulfills the role of tranquility, peace and love. The role of a serenity which can be found only in the places of work of the true brotherhood. In those places of work, the Spirit responds from the very beginning to the words of the Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is the characteristic of the true beginning. It is the rest for the weary, ever agitated seekers. This rest of the Spirit, as the signature of our reception centers, must flow down from the top of the mountain, the top of the living body. This rest is at the same time a protective vibration against all those seekers who still need to be purified some more by the grip of nature. No person can or will be forced by the vibration of the rest of the Spirit, and yet it is a confrontation with the Spirit itself. Hence, whoever has taken this first step has already met the Spirit. Whoever has experienced the vibration of the spiritual rest, and therefore must have needed it, in other words, was up to it, will of course enter the second aspect of the spiritual school. This is because the rest of the Spirit, as a perceptible stimulus for an often heavily shocked nervous system, causes a yearning that is more powerful than ever. He or she has seen the path and so desires to know, to comprehend completely. For this, he will enter the Lectorium Rosicrucianum, the second aspect of the school. However, no one could say that the signature of the Lectorium Rosicrucianum is rest. To the contrary, after the rest comes the storm of wisdom and of the knowledge of God. In this storm, this intense power wave, the path must not only be seen, but also recognized. We deliberately talk about a storm because in the Lectorium Rosicrucianum, a vibration field has to be maintained which is capable of keeping every ordinary aeonic astral impulse at a distance. That storm has to rage for the sake of the pupil who is still imprisoned completely in the grip of aeonic nature. You know by experience that you are not left alone in the Lectorium Rosicrucianum, and you are not given the time to fall into a mystical slumber. With the regularity of the adopted plan, the blows fall now on your heart, now on your consciousness. You are continually being seized and confronted by the consequences of your pupilship. The full light of day is made to fall on your path of life. This is the second confrontation with the Spirit. Then comes the third confrontation, namely in the school of higher consciousness. This aspect of the living body is only for those who have withstood the storm and have decided to walk the path, to climb the mountain, and hence firstly perform the most vital work, namely, the Endura, the great self-surrender, of which Jesus the Lord once said, "He who loses his life for my sake will find it." It is clear that all those who may enter the sanctuary of the school of higher consciousness are linked to the third radiation of the Spirit, which is aimed at those centers of the personality that are connected to the possibility of the rebirth of the soul. Should that process succeed in a pupil, the nature of the path will change completely from then on. Until now, the pupil has only been receptive. He has been passively confronted, and all his activities were within the realm of self-surrender and of his fundamental departure from the state of life of the aeons. But now, on the next step of the path, the fourth, the pupil of the mysteries is given a task, namely the task of concentrating light for all those who are in the living body. The pupil of that state should enter into the group unity and into the service of the soul. This is truly a priestly ministry. It should now be seen whether there has indeed been a rebirth of the soul. If not, the pupil must return to the third aspect of the school, for, as you know, no one may be forced in his progress. This fourth aspect is one in which a radiation of the Spirit is directed solely at promoting and reinforcing the growth of the new soul and at enabling the pupil to be strong during the attacks of the adversary. The signature of the fourth Spirit radiation is power. It is receiving the power truly to become a child of God. This power is concentrated in the magnetic field of the school as a fount of blessing for the whole body. And then the gates will open for the entrance into the fifth aspect, the top of the living body, as it works in the physical world. In this aspect of the living body, the pupil arrives at the level at which his soul receives the nourishment it has yearned for from the beginning. In the fifth aspect of the school, the power and the radiation of the Holy Spirit are consciously found and experienced, All roads lead here, and the conscious link with the Gnostic astral field comes into being here. The work of the brothers and sisters of the fifth aspect in the service of all who are in the living body has as its signature, working from and with the seven flames of the seven spirit itself. This process can arise only on the basis of the nucleus principle Jesus Christ. The spiritual school has during all the years of its existence tightly held on to this nucleus principle, and it is on this liberating nucleus principle that the entire revealed teachings of the school have been built.